Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by 123.ie. Don't make insurance a hot topic. Just go to 123.ie, where simple is smarter.
And you are listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk. 1850 453 106 is our low call number. Our text number is 53106. That'll cost you 30 cent. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter or send us an email to afternoon@newstalk.com. Today we're coming to you from the Ballygally Castle Hotel in County Antrim with thanks to Discover Northern Ireland. Say hello to more. And we did go on a tour, which we will... Part of a tour, which we will talk about later on. But we kind of went along the Antrim coastline and look at some of the sites from Game of Thrones. And just the coastline itself is absolutely extraordinary, especially on a day like today when it's a spring day and you're getting what, winter and then summer and then winter and then something in between. And from here, you can see Scotland. We saw the Mull of Kintyre today. Which looks far prettier, and it's redeemed it in my eyes after it was completely ruined by Paul McCartney. And on a day like today, you would think about all the young people around Ireland today who are marching for climate change and how much they need to march for climate change when you see how beautiful this country is and how much we should really look after it. It's also our hashtag today. Our movie hashtag is climate change movies. Honey, we stuffed the kids, being one suggestion. Richard Stamp has toured his comedy show around the world, and when he discovered a lump in his groin, like many men, he ignored it and hoped it would go away, but it didn't. It turned out that Richard had penis cancer. True to his craft, he's used this experience in a show he's currently touring. It's simply called Dick. Richard, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Sean. Lovely to be here.
Lovely to have you. Where were you when you found out, or where were you when you first discovered the lump?
When I first discovered my lump... My tumour. I was in Phnom Penh in Cambodia. I woke up one morning and found a lump and it hurt. And I did what most guys do. I kind of took a 2-month course of ignore it. And then I sort of tried to use the WD-40 of the genital area, which is Canistan. That didn't work. But yeah. Mm. And so it gradually got worse.
Yeah, and it presumably got more and more uncomfortable as things went along.
It started off like a pea-sized lump, and then it ended up like a cocktail sausage.
Okay, that's alarming. That's quite alarming.
The tumour was 8 centimetres by 2 centimetres.
And during this period, did you tell anyone you had it?
I ended up in Australia to do some work there, and I said to some friends of mine, look, I don't know what I've got, but I've got this lump. And they said, oh, it's probably an abscess. You don't need to worry about that too much. And then I saw several doctors. Funnily enough, one of them was called, what's his name? Dr. Cock.
Yeah, yes. that would be highly appropriate.
Hilarious. Yeah. But they all said it's just going to be an abscess. But then I found out the news. I was just told, rather shockingly, in a room by an oncologist, that actually it was penile cancer, which I'd never heard of.
And was that Dr. Cock who gave you the final
diagnosis? No, it
wasn't.
No, that's Dr. Kim Pesci.
Right. But in typical Australian manner fashion, he didn't sugarcoat it at all.
No, not at all. He was basically, you've got a lump, you've got cancer, it's got to come off. The whole thing has got to come off. Amputation is the only way.
It's hard to know how to respond to that when something's been said to you like that.
Well, you know, you have all the classics. You're kind of, you know, spinning around 360. It's like Jaws. It's, you know, the shooting chair scene. It's just all going wrong. And, I phoned friends, got in touch with them. And their first reaction was, because I'm a bit of a clown, I've been doing comedy for many years, they laughed.
You know, it's like they thought you were joking.
Well, yeah. It must be a joke because I haven't heard of it, and that sounds ridiculous.
Because it is incredibly rare. It's like 1 in 100,000, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, at the moment, like, say, I don't know about ERA, for instance, because we don't really have numbers for ERA, but say, in Northern Ireland, there have been, like, in a year, there's 20 cases, and out of that, six men will die. Mm-hmm. So in England, it's like 600, you know, 136 will die.
Okay, so his choice was lose the penis or die. Yes. That was pretty much it. Now, I think many men would completely understand your initial reaction, hope it goes away. Yeah. When you've been in to see an oncologist who says, now we have to cut off your penis.
Yeah.
you might have a similar reaction, did you?
Well, I wanted a second opinion.
Yes. Very much
Hang
so,
on.
Yes.
Wait a minute, mate. I'm going to have to get a second opinion on this. And fortunately, I phoned my doctors in London, in South London, and said, I've got cancer of the penis. Oh, yeah? Oh, you better come in and see us. So I booked an appointment, got on a plane, got out of Australia, probably with a guy waving a scythe at the airport, going, come back! It's mine! You're mine! And so I arrived in London, and then my local hospital happened to be St. George's Hospital, which is the leading hospital for penal cancer in Europe.
Right, okay.
That was sort of handy.
That was sort of handy. And, yeah. And they confirmed the diagnosis.
They confirmed the diagnosis, but what they also confirmed was that actually the diagnosis wasn't quite as severe as the barbaric Mr. Pesci had told me.
Okay.
Because they said, well, Richard, actually, you can have a partial appendectomy. What's that? So, well, you keep most, you know, because the thing is with the penis, like, what you can see on the outside isn't all you can see because there's more, you know. And so a partial appendectomy means that I'm still able to function.
Yeah.
Like, you know, suddenly Professor Watkins is saying to me, you know, you'll be fine. You can have children. You're a young man. I go, I haven't been told that for a long time. And then he talked about reconstruction as
yeah.
well. So that's another area.
Well, I mean, that's an awful lot to digest. And then yes. what was the time between getting the second diagnosis and being told that it's a partial appendectomy and actually having the procedure done?
It's all happened over 3 months, basically,
right.
from like more or less this time last year up to May last year. So I had the operation. I was diagnosed sort of around about the end of February, and then I got the second diagnosis around about this time, and then basically I went into a hospital, had an operation on the 6th of May, and I was out by the 15th of May, suddenly given the all clear, but obviously I'd lost a bit of me
yeah.
along the way.
Yeah, and having a bit of a gap to think about it in advance, was that a good thing or a bad thing in
no,
retrospect?
I had a friend called Alana who was staying with me who was like really into Googling all about it, you know, and she got really, really involved in that. And I got really involved in drinking,
yeah,
I must admit.
Understandably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And relaxed a bit.
Yes.
No, I kept putting everything off. And what I was doing, Sean, was really dealing with things in kind of like, you know, that expression, baby steps. But I couldn't look at the whole picture. I just had to take one thing at a time, a very small bit of information, and go, right, okay, I can handle that.
Mm.
And then the next bit and the next bit. So that's how my way of kind of processing it was.
And in advance, and I suppose afterwards too, when people learned about it, particularly men, how did they react? Was there, to a degree, I don't want to hear about this, because
yeah.
this is the most terrifying thing I could imagine.
Yeah, this is it, isn't it? This is the end.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine who's working with me on the sound said to me, "If this had happened to me, you know, the question is, would I have it chopped off or would I die? I'd rather die," they all said. Well, I was sort of going, well, actually put yourself in the real position. Think of life, actually.
Yeah.
Think of your family. Think of all the things that can be done. You know, it's not the end. It's not the end of the world. And I'm lucky, Sean, because, you know, we've all got friends and family that have sadly lost to cancer.
Mm.
And I'm, you know, I'm fortunate.
Yeah.
You know, and also because of the nature of the cancer I've got, I can actually make a show about it. If it was about prostate, wouldn't be so great. Testicular, people aren't really interested.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm lucky. I mean, like, you know, I got lucky with this. If Michael McIntyre got hold of this first, it could be ruined.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm we're all relieved about that.
We're all very relieved about that.
Isn't it funny, though, as well, that you can take an individual human being, such as yourself,
mm-hmm.
lived a span of years,
yeah.
failed at things, achieved at things, made connections, made mm-hmm. enemies, the entire span of a life, but your entire selfhood, or some from the view of others, your entire selfhood boils down to a few inches of skin that's hanging
yes.
between your legs.
Your Mickey.
Yeah.
As I hear it's called.
Yes, it is called that. It's called many names. But
yes,
without your Mickey, you're not you.
Yeah. Yeah, and the incredible thing is, I don't really have a problem with people knowing that I'm disabled. And that's what's happened to me. I can handle it. You know, got bullied at school. Always wanted to be a bit of a punk. Never was the best punk. You know, so I kind of, this is a sort of punk cancer, really. Yeah. And it's, you know.
If you had your choice.
Yeah.
This is the one to go for.
Penal cancer. Yeah.
Beautifully put, Richard. And then after, I mean, after the operation, then how long was the healing process?
And I'm still healing.
Really? Yeah.
Yes, as we sit here today.
You're healing.
I'm healing.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Well, I mean, when did it stop being sore? Or is it still sore?
It's still sore. It's still, the area is still sore. I can't bend down too easily. I mean, this is a daytime show. I mean, functions have come back.
Yeah.
You know.
Is that sore?
It's a bit sore.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, the hardest thing is actually urinating, because I don't have the tube bit,
How does that work?
Well, it's quite funny, because my Macmillan nurse, Chris Backhouse, hi Chris, she said to me, I said, oh god, what am I gonna do, because it's just not, you know, I'm peeing all over my, you know. And she said, why don't you go down to B&Q? And I went, what, the garden center?
Yeah.
And get a funnel or something. Anyway, so I went, oh no, I'm not going down to B&Q. She told me other guys have done it. Yeah, all right, other guys have done it, but I want something more advanced.
You should check out B&Q's penis cancer section. It's very fun.
That's the direction they should go in.
So did you go to B&Q or did you get something?
No, in fact, Chris then got me a shiwi or a sheepy. You know, the women use them sometimes.
Okay.
Looking around the room.
Stunned faces. Oh, yeah, and even knows who sheepy is. Okay, yeah. All right.
A friend of mine used it at a party recently.
Right.
She made a right mess everywhere.
Yeah.
You have to practice. You have to really practice these things.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, and it's probably hard to describe by sign language, which Neve's trying desperately hard to do.
I've got one in my bag.
Yes, actually, I know this thing now. You can stand and pee with it.
Yes, we did a nice one, actually.
Come to think of it. Yeah. All right, okay, so you can use that as a urinal.
Hmm.
Okay, yeah, that's,
I haven't used a urinal yet. I haven't been quite brave enough.
Yeah.
You know, that is the thing. You know, you stand there, it's bright orange, it looks like a carrot, it looks weird. I am up for it, like standing in a urinal with some bloke going, and I go, yeah, I've got penile cancer, and then, you know, then we're having a right old laugh. But you know, I'm into awareness though, and I'm working with Orchid Male Cancer Charity, so I'm going to be going around doing a road show with them, you know, talking to other people who've been affected by penile cancer and talking to GPs, nurses, because, you know, there's quite a lot of unawareness,
yeah,
you know, by GPs, because my, you know, one GP saw me and did, well, several GPs saw me and didn't know what it was.
That's extraordinary, really. That's terrifying, given that this could kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is terrifying. Listener wants to know, you know when you have to put your dog, this is a very bad comparison, you know when you have to put your dog down and give him one last awesome day on the beach and cook him a steak, etc., what did that man do to say goodbye to his penis? Did you bring it to a film or, you know, bake it a cake?
Well, I really wanted to know where it was, you know, once it gone. And I said to my surgeon, where's my penis? And he said, well, it was a bit messy, really. And I went, oh, really? I said, there's not much left. There's some of it's left in the medical research laboratories in Tooting Hospital. I haven't got a date to see it yet, but I will go and see it.
Okay, visit would be nice.
Yeah, I mean, like, I didn't put it in a coffin and sort of cremate it or anything like that. I didn't have that joy, you know, like a pet funeral or something. But yeah.
And is there, I mean, is it? Have they talked to you about, can you get it reconstructed or
I can, yeah.
Do you want to?
Well, this is interesting because, you know, I'm kind of going, yeah, I thought, great, that one comes off, get a new one, bang, and away we go.
Mm.
You know, bionic man, you know, this could be fantastic. I'll never have to use Viagra. And also you can get one, some with a button. And
oh, right, handy.
Yeah. You just have a button and it just...
And you're away.
Yeah. Elevates.
Right. So are you going to do that? I'm looking into it.
I'm waiting for the catalogue to arrive.
Right. Yeah. I mean, are they expensive, those like bionic Mickeys?
Well, I hope you can get them on the NHS.
Okay, well, that's good.
So that's good. I'll be glad to come back and...
Yes, tell us how it went. Road tested it.
But no, I have to wait 2 years, and then they sort of... It's a lovely operation, because they take a part of your arm, basically, and your arm becomes...
Oh, right, okay, just the skin from your arm is kind of outer sleeve.
I mean, I think they take a bit of a chunk of it.
Yeah.
But the weird thing is, so your arm then becomes your thing, your Mickey. But the thing is, with amputations, this thing still thinks it's an arm.
Yeah.
For a while.
Right.
So it probably wants to shake people's hands.
Lift up pints,
pick your nose. So, you know, it's going to be a...
Oh, yeah, that'd be an interesting transformation for your arm skin, really. Somebody wants to know, do you have a significant other or is he single?
I have a girl who's in Brazil at the moment. She will be coming back.
Okay.
So, and we've already experimented doing it without having it, and it's gone pretty well so far.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, there's many ways to.
Somebody wants to know, could he get a really cool tattoo there instead? That would be a real showstopper. Given the amount of pain you've already endured down there, I don't think that's a great suggestion.
Well, it's not a great suggestion, but what I'm kind of looking into is kind of maybe something like a Swiss Army knife.
Yes.
So, you know, it's got sort of lots
of gadgets.
As long as the buttons.
Yeah.
And I've got Bluetooth and Wi-Fi built in.
Yeah, that would be
got all
very
emails.
Handy. Oh, my God. My husband just texted me to say that he heard your guest ignoring his lump. Now, hubby doesn't have a lump to ignore or anything, but he has made an appointment for a full physical on Tuesday morning. I've been bugging him for months to have a checkup. So thank you.
Brilliant. That's the way.
Thank you,
well
Richard.
Well done.
Many men in Ireland will be having a digit shoved up their backside over the next few days. Thanks to you. Richard's show is called...
I've done it.
He's done it. A lifetime's ambition achieved. Richard's stamped show is called Dick. Richard, thanks a million for coming in.
Thank you very much, Sean. Thank you, everybody.
We're going to take a break after that. Game of Thrones in... Moncrief
on News Talk. Sponsored by 123.ie. Don't make insurance a hot topic. Just go to 123.ie, where simple is smarter.
Antrim.